it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That performance left a lot to be desired, and it's troubling. What makes it the most troubling is the fact that I don't know how he gets better. He has some fundamental technique issues that have reared their head at right tackle, and they're rearing their head right now at left tackle. He went against some good competition yesterday. Will McDonald is an elite pass rusher. Quinn Williams is an elite defensive lineman. No excuse, though, because there were a couple plays there where he didn't look like he belonged in the NFL with some of the sets that he had.
That's the great Trey Essex, Super Bowl champion, analyst, great man, saying that Broderick Jones at times on Sunday against the Jets did not look like an NFL caliber tackle. That's not me, hot take Crowley, who never played a down of offensive line in my life, say, well, that guy sucks. That's Trey Essex, who doesn't say things for reaction. He watches the games. Then he watches the tape. He evaluates, and he gives his honest-to-God opinion. That's not to say that my opinions aren't truth, at least the way I see them, but we have Trey Essex on for a reason. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I know the ins and outs, the nuances of offensive line play. Now, we could all see that Broderick Jones was bad on Sunday. That guy watched every single snap of Broderick Jones and then watched it again and says, this guy right now does not look like an NFL caliber tackle. And then he also said, I don't know how it gets better. And so here's the obvious question. Broderick Jones is supposed to be a big part of the future. One of the things we said last week was this Steelers season is a success if this offensive line grows, develops, and coalesces together. At what point do you bench Broderick Jones? Because Aaron Rodgers, despite what PFF says, and we'll get into that later, was elite on Sunday. He's going to be in a hyperbaric chamber at some point, not playing football games if Broderick Jones continues to play like that. So do you consider at some point benching Broderick Jones? 412-928-9370, Doran.
Absolutely. I mean, until Aaron doesn't win you games and you're skating by, and it looks very bad. I give it maybe two more games. That's me. I give it, what is it, Seattle and then New England. Like, I give it two more games. You got a home game this week, and then you're in New England, and then you travel. So, Andres Pete, he can play outside. He can play inside. He's a veteran. Calvin Anderson also can play outside at the tackle spot. I give him two more games, man, because you cannot move forward with this being an issue, especially if you have somebody who has played offensive line and has won a Super Bowl and knows every position of the offensive line, like Trey Essex saying that he doesn't know how to fix the issue. Because if he doesn't know how to fix the issue, I damn well know that the offensive line coach, Pat Meyer, doesn't know how to fix the issue either. It's not something that's going to happen overnight.
Right.
Clearly.
You don't go from being a turnstile and arguably the worst tackle in the NFL week one to, by the fourth week of the season, Aaron Rodgers can take seven-step drops and run the play-action game effectively because he knows his blind side's being protected. It doesn't work that way. He can get better incrementally, maybe, but he ain't going to be a great player for him. Not in the near future, for damn sure.
No, and it'd be different if it was like mental mistakes too, but it's more physical, and that's the problem. Like, mental mistakes, like, all right, we can get him on the same page. We can, tell him, like, this is what you need to do. This is, the defense you're seeing. You kind of break it down and school him up mentally about, like, twists and stunts and things of that nature. Okay, just, like, stay in that spot and just use your inside hand to make sure you help the guard or whatever. It's not that. It's ducking his head. It's footwork. It's punch. Like, it's the things that every NFL offensive lineman or tackle should automatically just do.
So what you're saying is it wasn't missed assignments, like, oh, shoot, I was supposed to get that guy. It was just getting worked rep after rep.
Yep. And maybe add in some of the mental mistakes, which is just a cherry on top of him being bad.
Right.
But it's more physical than mental.
Look, against two really good players, but this just in, it's the National Football League. And you say you'd give them a few more games. I say bye week at the latest. So that'd be the first four games, New York, Seattle, New England, Minnesota, see if he can figure it out. Because look what you got coming after the bye week. You got Cleveland and Myles Garrett. As much as it pains me to say this, Myles Garrett was the best defensive player in the NFL week one. That guy was a monster.
Yep.
He had two sacks. He almost single-handedly, that defense and that pass rush almost single-handedly beat the Cincinnati Bengals in week one. Myles Garrett hit the ground running in a way that we did not see T.J. Watt hit the ground running. How do you think he's going to fare against Broderick Jones? All right, no big deal. It's just a game. It's fine. It'll be fine. Okay, next week, Trey Hendrickson, who led the league in sacks. You think they might line him up across from Broderick Jones? No big deal. That's just a couple of games. No problem. Week three, the following week, Green Bay, Micah Parsons.
Oh, my goodness.
If he ain't figured it out by the bye week, you cannot roll him out there against Garrett and Hendrickson and Parsons in three consecutive weeks because, look, I hate to predict injuries. Aaron Rodgers played all 17 games last year, but you ain't making it out of those three games.
Nope.
Those elite pass rushers with that bad of a tackle? Hell no. And, okay, I don't like to predict injuries. So let's say Aaron's fine. You could lose that Cleveland game because Myles Garrett wrecks it.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to lose a division game on a Thursday on the road against a tough opponent because that just seems to happen all throughout the NFL against Cincinnati. But let's say you're in that thing. Trey Hendrickson can wreck the game. Green Bay's at home. I like the Steelers' chances. Green Bay looks really good.
Yes.
I think they're going to be one of the better teams in the NFL this year, but you're at home. It's an NFC opponent. Rodgers will be pissed off for greatness. Micah Parsons can ruin that game. Bye week seems like, at the latest, the perfect time to do it. And, hey, I think you got to give Broderick Jones a couple of weeks because you've invested a first-round draft pick in this guy, but I ain't letting that guy ruin the season.
No.
It'd be different if Rodgers didn't play well. It'd be different if it's like, okay, you're going to have to run a ball, play defense, do all that fun stuff. No, you can maybe achieve something this year because your quarterback was elite week one. You might have a guy at quarterback. He can't be a guy week in and week out. He can't throw four touchdowns week in and week out with the offensive line protecting him as poorly as they did on Sunday. That, to me, was an anomaly.
Yes. Yes.
He was great. You can't be great if you're constantly under pressure. None of the great ones. No quarterback can play great under pressure. Look at Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Look at when the Patriots lost Super Bowls. It's because they couldn't protect him. Aaron Rodgers ain't what he used to be either from a movement standpoint.
I mean, what I asked Trey yesterday, too, and really with this level, this development, and there's levels to it of, you know, having the decision of sitting Broderick Jones at some point. Like, now this week, everything that you really wanted to do, probably an offense, goes out the window because you're going to have to protect him. You're not protecting Aaron Rodgers. You're protecting Broderick Jones, which is crazy. So you're going to have to keep a tight end in. You're going to have Jaylen Warren, chip block, do things of that nature, not be able to get out in routes and actually expose the defense the way you want to.
Yeah.
So now your whole offensive game plan has shifted to protecting Broderick Jones and not protecting Aaron Rodgers, which is a shame. So if that doesn't work, then that's where my three game kind of like area is. It's like, all right, we need to make a move here. We need to make sure that Aaron Rodgers is the one being protected and we're not protecting our offensive linemen with other players.
Right.
Like, it's crazy.
And I've said, and you've said, and we've all said, if he plays average, that might be okay. That might be good enough, especially the way that Rodgers played on Sunday. He's so far away from average right now. And we'll get into the Steelers' failures here. You should not be in year three figuring out if a first-round pick can be your left tackle. It's year three. To your point, Jonnu Smith played 66% of the snaps on Sunday. He played 37 snaps. Pat Freiermuth played 28 snaps. That was 50% of the snaps. Darnell Washington played just two fewer snaps than Pat Freiermuth, 46% of the overall snaps, didn't catch a ball. Why? Because his ass is babysitting Broderick Jones play after play, and that number's only going to go up.
Yep.
After they watch the tape. He is a weapon. We saw him run like a deer down the middle of the field and get hit for a touchdown pass in preseason game number one, that guy is a weapon, and they can't utilize him because their left tackle still has training wheels on. And it's their fault.
Yep.
Like he deserves blame, obviously, but it's their fault for how they've mismanaged this situation now going on 3 years. 412-928-9370. There are ramifications if he's not the guy. You want to draft your starting quarterback of the future next year. Are you going to have to shell out a whole bunch of money and pay a tackle? Are you going to have to then draft a tackle if you bench Broderick Jones at some point? Because once you bench him, that's past the point of no return. If you bench him 4 weeks into this season, he ain't your left tackle at any point the rest of the year unless there's injury. And that will probably spell the end for Broderick Jones. Is that all worth it? 412-928-9370, or do you give him a long leash and just see if he can develop over the course of the year? We'd love to hear from you.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Text us 412-928-9370, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can also tweet us at underscore Adam Crowley, at score and Doran, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Here is a text. I never thought I'd wish to have Dan Moore playing tackle for us, but then I watched Broderick Jones. I would invite everybody who's listening right now to go on Twitter and type in Dan Moore into your search bar. Doesn't seem like Titans fans were all that impressed with their $82 million left tackle.
Just as bad.
Yeah. Which sort of underscores the problem with the Steelers here. You've got Aaron Rodgers, who played a really good football game on Sunday. He can still clearly sling it at an elite level, and as we talked about all offseason, his brain is a massive weapon that nobody else in the NFL possesses. Like, you've got a good quarterback right now. And you're finding out on the fly if a guy you drafted 3 years ago could be the blindside protector? Why? So that you could play Dan Moore Jr. at left tackle the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
No idea.
That's one of the problems that the Steelers have had during this non-losing season streak is sometimes, it's one of my favorite phrases, they don't see the forest through the trees. You needed to find out about Broderick Jones before year three. You needed to. And now here you are, and he almost got your 41-year-old quarterback killed.
Yes.
In week one. They played Dan Moore Jr. last year at left tackle, even when Feltanu was coming back healthy, because they thought he was the best player at that position. Okay, but you need to learn whether or not a guy that you traded up for in the first round could get the job done or not. And you knew Dan Moore Jr. wasn't part of the future here.
Right, you knew you weren't going to pay him.
Right.
So that just never made sense to me.
Me neither. And we were critical of them at the time, and that's why I don't think it's cut and dry. Oh, you just bench Broderick Jones, because guess what happens if you do? He ain't ever going to be your starting left tackle. And then when you hit free agency at the end of the year, not great to mediocre tackles, they get $82 million.
Yeah.
So if someone would want to call up and say, no, you got to see what happens with Broderick Jones, I would understand that argument, because you don't want to then pour more resources into one of the more important positions in the NFL because you've punted on Broderick 2 years, 3 years now into his rookie deal. I get it. But I would bench him. Not now. I'd give him until the bye. You say give him a couple more weeks, but if you don't figure it out, you got to pull a trigger.
I mean, I'd look for who could possibly we trade for too. I mean, you have some money still.
Yes, you do.
Over. Like I'd be scouring the other teams in the NFL to see, like, all right, like, which team, like, who's the Dolphins tackle?
Right. Who sucks?
Who's terrible that wants to get rid of guys, offload guys?
Because the Dolphins, I don't know if you saw this, they were officially eliminated mathematically from playoff contention. how poorly they played.
Basically.
The Colts. They got bludgeoned by the Colts.
The Colts. Crushed.
Daniel Jones.
Indiana Dorian. Jones, they're calling him. Indiana.
Doran, I can't tell you how much I effing love that.
It's one of the best nicknames, I think.
I hope they make the playoffs.
Indiana Jones.
I hope they make the playoffs and Indiana Jones plays great all season long and they don't draft a quarterback. 412-928-9370. So you and I say if Broderick Jones keeps struggling, yes, you bench him. Because it looks like you've got a quarterback who can still play the game at an elite level. You do not want to ruin him because your left tackle stinks out loud. I also think they actually would consider doing it. And the reason I feel that way is he was going to be their swing tackle last year.
Mm-hmm.
If Troy Faltanu was healthy, he was going to play right tackle. Broderick had, what, 3 penalties in that Denver game. And if Faltanu didn't get hurt, I think that was going to be the last we saw of Broderick Jones.
Yes.
It was going to be Dan Moore at left. It was going to be Faltanu at right. And Broderick was going to have to learn in the film room and get whatever backup practice reps you get. So if you were going to do it last year and now he's protecting the blind side of an immobile quarterback, I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility to think that they might do it again if his play dictates that they do.
It's just crazy because they basically told us how much better they thought Daniel or Dan Moore was than Broderick Jones because Broderick Jones couldn't overtake that position at left tackle, right? So they're telling us like Dan Moore is that much better than Broderick Jones. And now we're in this position where Dan Moore is just as bad as Broderick Jones, but still that much better than probably Broderick Jones.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
So like what are we doing here? Like why this offseason, why didn't you just get an insurance policy this offseason? Knowing that this could possibly be the case whenever he's moving to the left side of the line.
Bostic's been saying it for months. He was bad at right tackle, and now he's supposed to be the solution at left tackle. And I understand their thought process. Hey, he's a natural left tackle, but that also spits in the face of what they've done
they've
now
done.
For 2 years.
Right.
Like, you trade up to draft a guy to be your cornerstone left tackle, and the same franchise that played Kendrick Green from day one and gave a potential Hall of Fame center's number to. He gets to play, and Broderick Jones has to wait 2 years to start at his natural position? What the frig? So you're right, man. They aired this offseason, not insulating themselves behind him, but they've been airing on this guy from day one.
Yep.
And playing Dan Moore Jr. in front of him. Dan Moore, a guy who never had pedigree, who did get better, but he never got good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to sit here like totally disrespecting Dan Moore. He was drafted in the middle rounds. He has been a mainstay in the NFL, and he's gotten paid. Good for him. Seriously. I do not mean that sarcastically. Good for him. But why are you playing that guy ahead of a first-round pick?
That you traded up for.
That you traded up for.
Makes no sense.
0 sense. Phone lines are popping. We'll talk to the people when we come back at 412-928-9370. The Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Would you consider benching Broderick Jones? 412-928-9370. The reason that most Steelers fans are optimistic today is because of Aaron Rodgers. It's hard to be over the top optimistic about the quarterback, though, if we all think the left tackle is going to get him killed.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Give us a ring on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The question, how long should the leash be for Broderick Jones at left tackle? 412-928-9370. We'll take some calls in a minute here. Texter writes in, we all knew that Broderick Jones was a project, didn't play much at Georgia. So how long does it take for a guy to figure it out? They were specifically asking you that question, Dorn.
I would say, well, it normally you would have the guy play his natural position if he was a project. If he was a super athlete, you knew that there was something there. Obviously, you trade up to get him. You would immediately put him at left tackle, but probably have him sit behind somebody and not move him, not mess with him. But they moved him to right tackle. He actually did decent whenever they did move him to right tackle. But then immediately put him back to his natural position after year one, after he was the right tackle. So, but normally I would say 2 years. This case, Broderick Jones, it's like 80-20. I give Broderick Jones over the Steelers of messing him up. But usually after your first year, going into your second year, after a few games, you should be with the pedigree that he has, ready to roll.
Right.
I mean, it is a different position, but it's still offensive line. You know, it's not like he's playing tight end. It's not like he's playing wide receiver or defensive line. They didn't move him to the other side of the football. He played tackle. He played right tackle. And he's playing left tackle, a position that he played in college. I don't care how many snaps he got. He was worthy of a trade-up first-round pick.
Right.
He should figure it out pretty quickly, in my opinion.
People are crushing Pat Meyer, too, and I get it. I think Pat Meyer has been kind of a mixed bag. It's always tough to know, though. Zach Frazier. Does Pat Meyer get credit for Zach Frazier being good?
Mason McCormick.
But then on the same token, you have Dotson, who leaves and then plays really well and did not play well here. Dotson got paid. He's one of the better guards in the league. So it has been a mixed bag. I think you nailed it. I had no problem with them not starting Broderick from day one. It was okay that it took time before you inserted him into the lineup, but then you insert him at right tackle. You should have flipped Dan Moore to left tackle, have Broderick Jones start at left tackle, and you just take your lumps then.
Absolutely.
And you figure it out on the fly. You also made a good point. When Broderick played right tackle initially, the Steelers' running game was one of the best running attacks in the NFL after the bye week Kenny Pickett's rookie year. Or I guess, what was it? This is the following year. They ran the ball really, really well. And they ran it well behind Broderick Jones. Last year, he was worse. So that's where the player does come into it, too.
Exactly.
Like you need to get better, and he wasn't a train wreck whenever he first got inserted into the lineup. 412-928-9370. This always comes up when we're having offensive line discussions. Hashtag bring back Mike Munchak. He wanted to get closer to family.
He's been gone for how many years now?
He ain't coming back,
no,
folks.
He's not.
Never mind. I have a family member
mm-hmm.
whose husband left like 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They never got a real divorce because she always thought he was coming back. Never came back.
No.
Zach in Pittsburgh, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just have a question for you. Do you think moving Broderick to right tackle and then trying to bring him back to left tackle is the problem? Like the change of
it hasn't helped
your steps and everything like that. Do you think that's the issue, or do you switch Fontanu and him and just let him run right tackle?
Look, Fontanu played left tackle in a lot of games at Washington. He was never considered to be a project. He played a million games at Washington. Was a left tackle for the offensive line that won the award for the best offensive line in college football. I think he could play left tackle. You imagine if they flip-flopped him, like, tomorrow? Then you're just screwing with Jones, you're screwing with Fontano. Right. Like, you
you're already
do that.
Screwing with both. I mean, Fontano's not in his normal position either.
All the draft nicks in that lead-up to last year's draft talked about how he profiled as more of a right tackle. I never really understood why.
I understood that.
Okay.
He did profile because he's thicker.
Mm-hmm.
I did understand it, but if we really want to talk details, like, he is playing a different position that he did in college.
Right.
So was Broderick.
Right.
So they didn't just draft a right tackle or just draft a left tackle. They've put both of them at right tackle, who both of them played left tackle in college.
You know what it sounds like? The Pirates.
Yeah, exactly.
Bob in North for Sales. Hello.
Hello there, Mr. Crowley and Score and Dorn. I hope you guys are well, my friends.
Oh, we're great. We're great. Harry's a little under the weather today, but he's persevering like a champion. How are you, Bob?
Well, you know what? Broderick Jones is giving me nightmares like the Pirates. And you know what? Moving him to the bench, I don't know if that would help because he couldn't even guard the water bucket at this time.
You got anything else, Bob?
No, that's it. Have a great day.
Hey, you too, Bob.
You too, Bob, yeah.
I love Bob.
Yep.
He just wanted to make a joke.
I do wonder if Aaron Rodgers can help a little bit, scheme-wise, to help Broderick Jones. But, like, you know, like I said, it's more physical than mental. I mean, he's like, every time that somebody like almost engages, he ducks his head. And that's like the cardinal, that's a cardinal sin in football. Like, never duck your head because then you're looking down.
That's what Trey said yesterday. He's like, left tackle, right tackle, center, right guard, left guard, don't matter. If you duck your head, you're getting screwed.
Yep.
You ain't going to make the play. Do you think the water bucket is more mobile than Aaron Rodgers?
Inside, the water is moving around.
You tweeted it out yesterday. You sincerely wondered how Rodgers is feeling.
Yeah, I was definitely curious, and that was a real tweet. I was like, I wonder how he feels, because I know how I felt yesterday. I'm 37, and all I did was talk to you, and I feel awful.
Some might argue that that's more difficult.
Yeah.
Than having Broderick Jones protect your blind side.
Right.
He can't be feeling good.
No.
Doran, I'm 34.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the last time that I woke up and felt good.
No.
Like, we're not young and spry like Harry, like City Limits. Youth is wasted on the young. Rodgers has to feel like death.
I felt better after a football game than I do just waking up now.
Yeah.
Honestly. So I wonder if I had to play football now, how bad would I feel? That's what Aaron Rodgers is feeling like.
Yeah. He got to be in a cold tub. He got to get in a sauna.
Hyperbaric.
A little hyperbaric chamber.
Mm-hmm. A little heat.
Maybe a little marijuana.
Maybe a little bit of that. A little bit of a lasering of.
Oh, you're going to get lasered.
Yeah, laser.
Hmm.
Get laser.
Maybe heat a laser. Massage or two.
Massages, yeah. Yes.
I wouldn't have him practice on Wednesdays.
He's not going to practice tomorrow.
All season long.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
No point.
He didn't play in the preseason.
Right.
And he came out and threw 4 touchdowns.
He doesn't need to practice on
if
Wednesdays.
My man doesn't want to practice at all, he don't have to practice at all. I think we saw, and it's tough to tell, I think we saw one miscommunication on Saturday.
Where he was like.
Yes. Yeah. To Jonnu Smith.
Juxta.
Get vertical up the seam.
Get up
there. And I wonder if, because there was the penalty on the play, that might have changed the responsibility for Jonnu in Aaron's mind. Like, hey, we got a free play. You just take it vertical.
Right.
I'm wondering if that was it.
Probably. That's exactly what it was. Yes, it was a free play. Yes, you did. That was a good call. You take it vertical. That's from Jonnu Smith not having practice, though.
Right.
Now Aaron Rodgers knows that.
That's one time. If old man Rodgers doesn't want to practice at all, he don't practice at all. I'm in love with him.
Of course you are.
I tweeted it out yesterday, and it got like 250,000 impressions that I have not felt as good as a Steelers fan in 5 years as I did when Rodgers threw that touchdown off his back foot and gave the fist pump. I have a new lease on Steelers fandom life, man. Oh, glorious. If he doesn't want to practice, he doesn't have to practice. If he wants to host the McAfee show every day, you go right ahead, Aaron. You host the McAfee show. We ain't seen good quarterback play in half a decade.
Yep.
All right, your Broderick Jones calls at 412-928-9370. We will get to you. The Vikings pulled victory from the jaws of defeat last night, coming back to beat the Bears. Ben Johnson, couple of screw-ups in his first game as a head coach. Saw the same thing from Aaron Glenn, I thought, on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Chasing points after the missed extra point and the penalty and then going for two, and ultimately that really cost them at the end of the game. It takes a little bit of time for a rookie coach to figure out all the game management aspects, but I'll tell you, J.J. McCarthy was game.
Yeah.
He played bad early.
Figured it out.
He played a lot of bad, actually, but that dude's got a goofy level of confidence, and I thought he was unflappable for somebody who's starting his first game on the road, national TV, down early, and then made some of his best plays late. So that's who the Steelers got in 3 weeks in Ireland.
You know he's only lost three games in his career from high school to pro?
No.
Yeah. I think he lost one game in high school as a starter from, I think, sophomore year, maybe freshman year to senior year. Lost one game as a Michigan starter. Then went undefeated his senior year. And no, maybe two games. And now he's won again. So, yeah. He's like 70-something and three.
That is incredible.
Or 60, 68 and three or something.
Did you see the stat on Derrick Henry that's going around? Derrick Henry, who is a future Hall of Famer, I think.
Yeah.
Still doesn't have as many rushing yards in his NFL career as he did in high school.
Yeah, that's right.
Unfair. Unfair to try to tackle that guy in high
Crazy.
School. Crazy. AJ's been waiting patiently. Let's talk about Broderick Jones. Hey, AJ.
What's going on, fellas?
What up?
Hey, you got to give him at least to the bye week.
I think that's fair.
You have to give him at least to the bye week. But what's not being discussed enough is the fact that Pat Meyer has been with the Steelers since 22. He supposedly had two bookend tackles, Sam Alu, Frazier, had James Daniels for a while. He's got a late-round steal in McCormick, and he has Frazier. And the line has been nothing but putrid since he's been in charge.
Yeah, you talk about you pay Sam Alu, who is a champ and a really good player. Still, I think, coming into this year, one of the better guards in the NFL. And you've got two first-round picks, and you've got a second-round pick, and they ran for 2.7 yards per carry, and Rodgers was sacked four times. It's unacceptable. Now, we didn't expect it to be a well-oiled machine for the offensive line week one, because that unit, despite four of the five guys playing, the whole unit didn't play in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
But it needed to look better than it did, and it sure as hell better look better this week.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
I don't think this front this week's as good as the Jets front, and you're at home. You better run the damn ball.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can run the ball, that's going to help you in your pass protection too. So they were one-dimensional. It was a perfect storm for Rodgers to get mauled. It can't be that way moving forward, or he will get mauled. 412-928-9370. Jeff Hathorn going to join us next. Mike Tomlin speaks today. We'll get Jeff's thoughts on game one and his comments on this Broderick Jones situation. 50-minute mark on the fans brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.